People in northern Japan, traumatized by the earthquake and tsunami, struggle to rebuild their lives.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thousands of residents in the northern Japanese town of Sendai are using heavy machinery and helicopters. They're scouring mounds of debris, beginning the long cleanup from last week's natural disasters. Nearly a million residents are without power. Tens of thousands are homeless and jobless, too. We are following the stories of the human and economic tragedy. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz traveled to Sendai, and he's with us right now. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Steve.
What did you see there? I mean, have they made any progress in that area?
Well, they've still got a lot of work to do. I visited a neighborhood completely washed away by a 30-foot-high surge of ocean water. I saw houses upside down, cars on top of each other, and then beneath all of this are telephone poles, lumber, electric wire. And then if you look even closer, you start to see household objects, plates, vacuum cleaners, a Sony PlayStation. I saw a child's half-finished homework. And it was all strewn about, stuck in thick mud. It was just an incredibly sad scene that reminds you that families lived and died here.
My goodness, that's something so harsh. But how is the local economy there, Rob, faring nearly a week after this earthquake?
It's still barely functioning. When we drove into Sendai today, we saw lines a mile long at gas stations, lines of people outside any place that had food. Evacuation centers are running low on food and supplies. It's clear the supply chain is still broken here. An older gentleman named Rikyo Yamano was my taxi driver today. His taxi runs on natural gas, something that's more plentiful now than gasoline, but he was still having problems. Here he's telling me that each day since the quake, he lines up at the natural gas filling station at 6 in the morning. He says he usually gets to fill up his tank at around 2:30 in the afternoon. So Sendai's economy clearly still has problems, and the weather today certainly didn't help. Mr. Yamano was pretty close to getting us into an accident a few times today. That's because we were driving on mountain roads in a snowstorm. So first you had the quake, then the tsunami, then the radiation release, and now a rather large snowstorm, all contributing to a standstill for the local economy here.
All right, Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Japan. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
And not too far away, the situation appears to be getting worse at Japan's Fukushima nuclear complex. Helicopters are dumping water on overheating reactors. Emergency workers have been trying to restore power to the water pumps there with little success. Radiation around the plant is spiking to dangerous levels. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live on how bad it could get for the people and for the economy of northern Japan. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, Steve.
How great is the radiation danger at this point?
Well, not very great unless you're right near the nuclear plant. The wind is blowing out to sea. Radiation outside the immediate area, say in Tokyo, is only slightly elevated. Now, in terms of worker safety, this isn't good. They're likely getting dangerous doses as they try to ward off what could be a much worse catastrophe.
And how much worse could it get, Mitchell?
Well, the nuclear fuel, there's both uranium and plutonium there. Some of it has probably already melted together, but it hasn't heated up enough to fully melt, and it's still inside these very tough steel containment vessels. I asked Neil Sheehan of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission to explain this.
If it got to the point where all of the fuel within a vessel were to melt, it could then actually escape, and that would be a much more serious situation.
Now, a full meltdown where the fuel actually breaches the containment vessel, that can contaminate the soil and the air, you know, for a very long time, years. Still, the industry's learned a lot, and Fukushima's not Chernobyl. They had no containment there. There was a huge fireball that lofted radiation hundreds of miles away.
If there were to be a significant release of radioactivity, the greatest impact would be in the immediate vicinity of the reactor. We're not expecting to see any impact on the United States or any of the territories other than probably trace amounts.
And it's that danger of radiation spreading that induced Sheehan's boss to tell Americans to get themselves 50 miles away.
All right, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher right now by about 1%, maybe 2% in some cases. The Dow up 160 points at 11,774. In Tokyo, the Nikkei fell today by 1%. The Japanese yen closed at its highest level against the dollar since World War II. The consumer price index in this country, a snapshot of inflation, rose by the fastest clip in a year and a half. But taking out food and gas, inflation held steady in February.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. For the latest business news, go to Marketplace.org and click on the Newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
A year ago, CBS thought it was going to lose as much as $200 million on the NCAA basketball tournament per year. But new technology and a cable partnership have changed CBS's fortunes. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Mark Gannis runs the Chicago consulting firm Sports Corp. He says if CBS lost March Madness, it would have been devastating.
This is one of their marquee events. If this was lost, it would have had a very negative effect on the entire broadcasting company.
So the network looked for ways to expand the tourney's reach. It cut a deal with Turner Broadcasting to split the costs and increase the number of cable channels carrying games. And last year, CBS started streaming all the games online for free.
And the viewership was enormous. And they sold advertising for it, and they still had the in-game advertising. It turned out to be a real winner because most of the people who watched it on their computers were at work, and so it didn't cannibalize the TV ratings at all.
You just had to keep one eye out for your boss.
There actually was a boss button on the screen, so it would pop up like a spreadsheet as soon as your boss came around.
Yeah, unfortunately, the spreadsheet was really the bracket.
Seriously? Gannis thinks streaming big sporting events to PCs, mobile phones, and iPads is set to explode. And if he's right, in a few years, we might be watching the Olympics on YouTube. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Finally, a war of words between the mayors of New York State's two biggest cities. Mayor Michael Bloomberg of the Big Apple said at a business conference there's an awful lot of free space in Buffalo, New York, if you want to go there. Well, the Buffalo mayor, Brown, said he grew up in Queens and left to wind up in Buffalo. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Memo to those with the oil. You know, for a peaceful and lasting Middle East, experts say everybody needs to share the wealth.
Saudi Arabia cannot sit on sovereign fund with $200 billion while people starving in Jordan or starving in Yemen.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Democracy doesn't come cheap. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.